All right, Jabal, say good morning. Let's continue. So we are picking up in Shara Rishon Sif Vav. Shara Rishon Sif Vav. So Shara Rishon Sif Vav. The bottom of page Zion. In the Shara Chubah edition over here. So write the Rabbeinu Yonah. Va'ata Bina Shama Zos. Now, listen to what I'm saying and try to contemplate and understand what I'm saying, because what I'm telling you is a true fundamental. MS. So the truth is, and this is very important, Rabbeinu Yonah says, there are righteous people who sin. Righteous people who sin. Ke'inyan shene'emar, ki adam ein tzadik ba'aret asher ya'as etov v'lo yachata. Because reality is, and this is a very affirming pasuk in Koheles, because there is no person, even amongst the righteous in the world, who only does good and does not sin. Achin kovshim es yitzram me'es pa'am p'nehem, v'em yiplu b'cheid p'amachos, lo yishnulo. So we'll say, see, here's what's interesting. So if everyone sins, so what's the difference between a righteous person and a regular person? I mean, if everybody's committing averos at the end of the day, so wherein lies the chilik between the tzaddik and everyone else? So the Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that ultimately the tzaddik, the righteous, when they make a mistake once, it then becomes their singular goal not to repeat it. I think I mentioned this, right? We mentioned this in this past week, that Rav pointed out, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, in Ala Tshuva, he says that to a certain degree, chet sometimes is the greatest gift. I think I mentioned this in this year, right? Chet is the greatest gift. Why? Because chet, when I sin, it often shows me my weaknesses, right? Meaning we all know we have weaknesses, but we don't necessarily know what those weaknesses are. But when I sin, and I discover again a mistake that I made, then I quickly realize again where my weakness is. Now, they're wonderful. Now, of course, it's sad to sin, it's sad to fail, it's sad to fall. But at the end of the day, when I discover my weaknesses, I know exactly what areas I need to be attentive to. So the tzaddik makes the mistake, but ultimately then goes ahead and promises himself, and not just promises, but takes definitive action to make sure not to go ahead and repeat that mistake. And if he sins one time, he won't repeat it. And he does whatever he can, ultimately, again, to be chozer b'tshuva. Again, we don't even know what that process looks like, but he does whatever he can to repair the breach. Ach kol asher eino nisar mechet yadua, ve'eino mekaba al nafsho lihishamim imenu, gamhu me'avono sakalim. Gamhu me'avono sakalim, afa pishu nisar mekol avero shebetora, kar'u chach me'yisrael mumar ledavar echad. See here, the Rabbeinu Yonah says something amazing. So what happens? If everyone sins, the definition of righteousness is doing whatever is within your power to not repeat the same mistake. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, if someone knows that he has a weakness, I know my weakness is in a particular area, and I don't do anything to try to remedy that deficiency. I don't do anything to try to right that wrong, to try to prevent that transgression from occurring. It says, even if my problem, my Achilles heel, is what we'll call a relatively minor avira, nevertheless, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, the failure to go ahead and address a breach in my spiritual personality, the failure to go ahead and try to remedy something, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, could make a person a mumar l'davar echad. Now, that's a very strong word. A mumar, of course, is someone who has just expressed a wanton disregard for a particular area. Is someone who's gone ahead and demonstrated that he does not feel that a particular area is important or a particular area requires any type of addressing, and wantonly and flagrantly violates a particular tenet of the Torah. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says something amazing. So when we hear this term, so we often assume that it refers to someone who goes out and willingly sins. I don't care. I don't care about this thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's a mumer. The Rabbeinu Yonah says something very dramatic. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that not taking the necessary steps to repeat the same mistakes. Not taking the necessary steps to avoid repeating the same mistakes. Not taking the necessary steps to make sure that I don't go ahead and fall in the same traps that I've done in the past, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's also called the Mumur L'Davar Echad. So what's amazing, says Rabbeinu Yonah, and this, you see this theme now, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect us not to sin, okay, parentheses, the first time. In other words, things happen. Things happen in life. And as you just mentioned, when we sin, we learn a lot about ourselves. So where is the responsibility we have? Once I discover that I have a spiritual weakness in a particular area, and that weakness manifested itself as my sin in a particular area, my job now, repair the breach. That's my job. Figure out how not to repeat the same mistake. But if I don't engage in that process, and I end up repeating the same mistake over and over again, says Rabbeinu Yonah, unfortunately, that could put a person in the category of a mumar ledavar echad. Ve'ez posham nimna, the gadol avanom inso. Because listen to what he says. Im amar yomar ha'evel rabba. Because imagine the following scenario. Imagine the following scenario, right? A servant says to his master, and the boss says, you can plug this in even like in a work setting as well. Kala sher tomar elai es, zulasi davar echad. Right? So can you imagine the servant says to the master, listen, master, I'm going to do everything you want, but you know, to be honest, that one thing, you know, you asked me to take out the garbage every day, I'm not so into that. I don't even do it at home. Right? I really don't want to do it over here. I'm not so into that. So kvar shiber ol adon avmelas. We'll say it doesn't work. Why? Because if you're a servant, right? If the guy's a servant, then part of what servitude means is what? Is what? Whatever the master asks of you, that's what you do. That's how servitude expresses itself. Whatever the master asks, I am ready to answer. So when I say, listen, master, I'm willing to do 98% of what you want. But the garbage thing, ain't going to happen. I'm not doing it. See, even though you want to say, I ate only 2%, and the Eved's doing 98% of his servitude, but Lamaisa, the moment that the Eved goes ahead and says to the master, I'm not doing this, Kvar Shavar Ol Adonov Mi'alav, then at the end of the day, he's not a servant. He's not a servant. At the end of the day, he is not a servant to this particular person. And about this very dynamic, the Ribbono Shel Olam says in the Torah, cursed is the one who will not go ahead and uphold the tenets of this Torah, la'asos osam, to perform them. Be'uro, asher lo yikabel al nafsho, l'kayim es tivrei Torah mirosh ve'atzof. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is, look, Abbas, part of our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be an unequivocal, unadulterated commitment. Right? Whatever God asks is what I'm going to do. V'yora al zeh asher lo yokim la'asos v'lo no'emar asher ya'aseh osam. So interesting enough, what our Shari Tshuva points out over here is that the verbiage of the Torah is asher lo yokim la'asos. Asher lo yokim la'asos means that the way I express my commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an unequivocal commitment to everything and anything he wants. Not asher lo ya'aseh osam. Asher lo ya'aseh osam means I'll do whatever I can. Right? I'll do whatever's within my power. No. It's asher lo yokim la'asos. That's the commitment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us. And we'll say this is really an incredible, incredible idea if you think about it. Because what the Shari Tshuva is really highlighting is this idea, and this, you know, sometimes it's amongst friends, so we'll speak openly and honestly. Sometimes people get very nervous when learning Shari Tshuva because it speaks a lot about sin and a lot about tshuva and a lot about wrong. You know, if you notice, it's different than the Mesilas Yesharim. The Mesilas Yesharim was not really speaking. Yesharim was talking about more about life. Shari Tshuva, of course, is talking about the process of tshuva, the process of spiritually rehabilitating ourselves. But this is so positive in such an incredible way because if you notice again, nowhere in this sefer does the Shari Tshuva ever say, well, the expectation is that you never sin. Because why? Why doesn't the Shari Tshuva say that? Because it's not possible. Right? Because it's not possible. Because what is it? Okay, I understand. Of course, none of us want it. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, all right, what am I going to do today? Right? Nobody wants to sin. Maybe some people do, right? Nobody wants to sin. But Lamaisa, it's what happens. What the Shari Tshuva is saying is the expectation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has from us is the same expectation we have of our children, right? So what do we say to our children, hopefully all the time? You know, we don't ask them to be perfect. What we do ask them is that when they mess up in some way, what did you learn? What did you learn? And what steps are you going to take not to repeat this same mistake? You know, it's an important din in discipline. When my child does something wrong, I can either come down on them hard, you know, punish, or I can take a step back and say, how did this happen? Let's talk about this. How did you get yourself into this situation? What did you learn? And what steps are you taking in the future not to repeat this behavior? The Shari Tshuva says, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us. To avoid sin in totality, a little bit difficult. But Lamaisa, to analyze why this happened, how this happened, and what steps you're taking in the future not to repeat that, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us. And the only time that real divine liability sets in is when I fail to undertake that process. When I fail to go ahead and think these steps through, because I will say one thing is for sure, which is if after a person sins, they don't think about the how, right? How did this happen? The why did this happen? And the what steps am I taking to avoid this happening again? If I don't go through that process, the how, the why, the what, then what's almost inevitable? That's going to happen again. And that's where culpability sets in. When I fail to take those steps, to the prevention steps, to prevent it from occurring again, and then it does occur again, that's ultimately where divine liability sets in. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Ibn Hashem on Monday with Sif Zion.